Welcome to 60 Women in the Bible. My name is Nadia, and today we are looking at Miriam in the Bible. Today we are doing episode 10. Now, for those of you that struggle with murmuring, complaining, bitterness, I think a lot of us sometimes do, and we have to be so careful. This is a great lesson for you. You don't want to miss it, because this is something that not only people out there in the world struggle with, but a lot of people within the church. And so we are looking at Miriam today from the Old Testament. Now, she came from a very extraordinary family. She was from the tribe of Levi. Her parents were Amram and Jochebed. Jochebed, we will talk about a little later on in this series of 60 Women in the Bible. And Miriam, she was the sister of Moses, of Aaron. She was a very shrewd and bold young lady. She was a prophetess, and she was the one, the big sister, who lovingly looked after her little baby brother Moses and protected him in the Nile River. And so before we get into this entire story, let's first talk about what her name means. Miriam, because of course every name in the Bible has an important meaning behind it, and Miriam is derived from Mar in the Hebrew. It's the root word bitterness. Mar means bitterness. Also, Mary, M-E-R-I, means rebellion. And so we're going to see a little later on in the story how she, in fact, did live up to her name. And so what we notice about Miriam, now the thing is that for most of us that know the story, we seem to think about that dark spot in her life when we're going to talk about Numbers chapter 12 and what took place. But you have to realize the story of Miriam is a story of redemption, the redemption of God, the restoration of God. So much so that it's not just remembering the negative aspect of what happened in her life. And, you know, as people, we sometimes, that's what we like to focus on, the negativity. But we have to remember that she too was a leader. So much so, she is remembered in the book of Micah. Look what Micah says, verse 4. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Notice that. It doesn't just speak about Moses delivering the people out of Egypt, but Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. So it mentions Miriam. Miriam is in that leadership role, and God himself affirms that. And so today, as we talk about Miriam, and I'm going to talk about her just in this particular session, because otherwise there's a few places that we can, a few chapters that we can focus on Miriam. And, you know, this will go into part two and part three, but three different places, Exodus chapter 2, Exodus 15, Numbers chapter 12. And I won't be reading all the scriptures, because then we'll be here for quite a while. But let's start with Exodus chapter 2. And to give you some background, most of us know, of course, Joseph, Jacob's son, who was Potiphar's right-hand man and saved his entire family from being wiped out in the famine 400 years earlier. And so what did Joseph do 400 years earlier? He brought his family, and there were 70 of them. He brought them to the land of Egypt where there was food. And over the next 400 years, they multiplied. So much so that the Hebrew people were in the millions. Now, fast forward into Exodus chapter 1 and 2. Pharaoh was leading Egypt at that time, and he saw that the Israelites were numerous. And he had to stop that because he was worried that they were multiplying too quickly. So what did he do? He ordered that all the Hebrew babies that were being born that were male were to be thrown into the Nile River. Horrific, absolutely horrific. And so Jochebed and Amram, which was Miriam's parents, they had a little baby, Moses. Now, his name wasn't Moses at the time. He was named by Pharaoh's daughter a little later on, but had a little baby. He was beautiful. And up to the age of 3 months, by that point, they couldn't hide him anymore because he was crying. Babies are noisy. So they made a little ark. They made a little basket. They put him in it, and they put him in the Nile River. Now, can you imagine that? The same river that Hebrew babies were being thrown into, they put their child in that river. Can you imagine? Crocodile-infested river. But the difference is that they trusted God. There was a plan, there was a purpose in all of this. And so what took place? Well, Exodus 2 verse 4 tells us, and his sister, and we're talking about little Moses here, his sister Miriam, which we find out that's her name, stood afar off to know what would be done. So she was watching. Listen, they didn't just put him down the river and say, okay, let's just see what happens. You know, sometimes we are like that in our spiritual lives. We'll be praying. We don't pray with, you know, we're praying, but we're so worried and we don't really have faith. We're kind of like double-minded in that sense. And then we still worry later. Oh, I don't know. I don't know when you're praying. They had confidence in God that he would take care of it. This is the thing. It wasn't just like, oh, let's just send this off. No, there was Miriam watching, waiting. She was expecting something to happen. Listen, when you pray, you need to expect something to happen with confidence, with assurance. And there was Miriam, this young girl. She was a smart girl. We see that. Very smart girl, because here she was, you know, scholars seem to believe she was around 12 to 14 years old, but she came from a spiritual family also, so she was a spiritual girl. She was watching, waiting, expecting something to happen. And of course, that is the mark of deeper spirituality. As the Bible says in Psalm 62:5, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. She came from a godly home, and we see that, and she's watching. And so as she's watching, there was Pharaoh's daughter. She was bathing in the river. She brought her handmaidens with her. She saw in the reeds afar off, there was a little basket. So she sent her maid, bring that basket over to me. When she saw that beautiful baby in the basket, who was crying, she had compassion on him. And watch how Miriam, you see, this is amazing. She showed maturity way beyond her years. This was the brilliance that we see. She could have just said, well, you know what? Now, oh, the princess has her. This baby's safe. This baby's sound. Oh, goodness. You know, this princess is adopting her, or adopting Moses, but no, she realized that my duty's not done here. I got to do something. So instead of just saying, well, you know what? Hey, princess, I'm the sister. I'm the big sister. I was just watching afar off, and I know somebody, well, my mom, who can actually nurse your child. No. She didn't say that. She showed wisdom. She showed maturity. Instead, this is what she said, because you know what? Had she said that, the princess would not have taken little Moses as her own. She said instead in verse 7, then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? Wow. So she posed it in such a way that it made it seem like it was the princess's idea. And the princess thought it was a great idea. Sure, go do that. What did little Miriam do? She went to get Jochebed, her mother, to nurse little Moses until he had to be weaned. And she was paid for it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? So here was Miriam. We see the leadership skills. We see she was not afraid. It could have gone a completely different way. We don't know. But she took the risk. She had the courage. She was committed to standing there watching and waiting. Are you committed when you pray for something, when you are trusting in the Lord, to watch and wait and see what He's going to do? We need to have that kind of expectancy. And this is what she had. She showed those leadership skills at a very young age. So that was the first part of the story with Miriam. Let's fast forward many years later, after they crossed the Red Sea, after they were in the wilderness, and we are looking at Exodus chapter 15. Miriam is a prophetess. Now, when the Bible speaks of prophets and prophetesses, sometimes we think they only speak about futuristic events, but they don't just do that. Prophets and prophetesses declare the word of the Lord. And sometimes it's not only just in preaching, sometimes it's also in song. They are teaching in song, as we will see here in the scripture. But first, let's look at Colossians 3:16. Let's see what it says right here about teaching in song. Maybe you never saw this, but this is a very interesting portion of scripture. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So you're teaching, you're admonishing. That's exactly what she was doing. And you know what, ladies, sometimes when you see people in church, of course, those are worship leaders or singers that are up on the platform. You know, when we sing, it's not just for our enjoyment or, you know, praising the Lord, but remember this, our leaders are up there, they're teaching in song, they are admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and that's exactly what she did. Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21. Look at this. Then Miriam the prophetess, notice that, Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, now focus on that, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." Look at that. Here was Miriam leading the women. They were exchanging their bitterness of captivity for the joy of deliverance. And look at that, she was leading the women. Now, notice as I read earlier, she was listed as Aaron's sister, not Moses' sister, but Aaron's sister. And you know what, it's kind of peculiar, but there's a reason for that. Why? Because Aaron was the one who was leading Israel in worship, and so was she. They were working together. Think about it, ladies. Moses was the one who led the people on their journey. Aaron was the one who led them in worship. And here was Miriam leading the women in worship also, in song, the three leaders. Oh my goodness, look at these leaders as mentioned in Micah 6. All three of them, they were leading. Came from that godly family. I tell you something, ladies, if you have young children, you make sure you teach them the ways of the Lord, because today we live in a day where there is bondage, where there is captivity, where there is so much oppression in this world. And we need leaders to rise up that are like the Moseses and the Aarons and the Miriams that will rise up and lead people. And so we see that as they came from such a godly family, they each here, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, had a specific role in leading. But as we do go to the third part of our story, in Numbers chapter 12, we see that Miriam wasn't very happy with that arrangement. And remember, here she was a leader, and of course, leaders are always tested with success. And that's why today we see the church being shaken up. We see the church shifting. There's many leaders within the last little while that have fallen. Why? Because They are being tested. A lot of them are not humble the way they should be. When I think of Billy Graham, he was one of my instrumental influences in my own life. And I look at his life and how he led. There was always humility. The Bible says before honor, there must be humility. It says that in Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Humility is the key. Humility is the key. And we will look in this portion of scripture, Numbers 12, where Miriam, what rose up? It was bitterness. Remember her name, Mar? Miriam means bitterness. Mary, M-E-R-I, rebellion. Bitterness and rebellion rose up in Miriam's life. And it's so amazing, her fall came through her brother, the very brother that she protected as a baby. Who would have thought that later on she would be envious against him and jealous with Moses? Wow, sibling rivalry. Oh, how we need to be so careful with that and have our hearts right before the Lord. Numbers chapter 12, let's read it. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. You see, ladies, that key ingredient. At that time, Moses was the most humble man on earth. Oh, wow. That's how he was. But look, verse 4, suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Oh my goodness, can you imagine that? God called them. Stand out. Come right here in front. He was dealing with them. Then the Lord said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God is saying to them, weren't you afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I deal with him very differently. Don't touch God's anointed. This is what he was saying. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So you see, Aaron confessed to his sin and even pleaded to Moses for Moses to intercede. And then the Lord said to him, then verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. Wow. So what was the result of all this? Leprosy. And leprosy in the Bible meant sin. Sin. And so as you see, leprosy is contagious. It was very contagious back then. And remember, sin is contagious. If you hang around people who are not doing the right thing in the spirit, it is like leprosy. Leprosy leads to isolation from others. She was put out of the camp. Spiritual leprosy leads to isolation from God. It breaks the heart of God. Leprosy leads to death. And here Aaron was even saying, don't let her be like dead, because it leads to death, spiritual or physical death. But leprosy, spiritual leprosy, leads to death. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. And so here was Miriam. You know, although we see the two of them, Miriam and Aaron, complaining, Miriam was the one who was leading this rebellion. Very clear she was the leader, very clear that she wanted more power, more authority. And what we see in verses 1 and 2, you'll see that they mention two things that were completely unrelated. First, they talk about in verse 1 that, oh, they talked about Moses, they spoke against his Ethiopian wife. And then in verse 2, hasn't God spoken to us also? You see, those two items were unrelated. And isn't it like that with bitterness? When you are bitter against somebody, you're not just going to talk about just one thing. You're going to find every little fault, every little thing that you can about them. That's how you know there's bitterness, when you're finger pointing about all these different things. And even though here she was a prophet in her own right, the point was, or a prophetess, she was complaining about Moses, her brother. And that caused her to go back to her own captivity in Egypt. She was going back. She was going back. She let the seeds of bitterness take root and grow and sprout into something ugly. And that's what bitterness does. Let's look at what the Bible says in Hebrews 12:15. Because bitterness, we have to understand this. It's like cancer. You let it grow, it'll eat you up alive. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Listen, ladies, when you let that seed grow, realize many of us can become defiled by it. And then we begin to wonder, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm not progressing in my spiritual growth. And all of a sudden you're doing 40 laps around Mount Sinai and you're not going anywhere. And let me tell you, just as the camp didn't move, it's the same thing with ourselves. When you have a root of bitterness in your life, let me tell you, God is not going to move in your life. You got to deal with it. You got to repent of it. You got to uproot that root of bitterness. When we think of bitterness, have you been bitter against somebody? Maybe it's somebody of authority. Maybe it's a boss. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's someone who's leading your Bible study and you're saying, well, you know what? I don't know why this person's leading Bible study. I can do better than that. I can do better than that. And you start comparing. Well, that's what she was doing. And we got to be just so careful, very careful. As leaders are often in the public eye, their faults are very visible. But we have to understand that if we're not careful with bitterness, bitterness will cause division. It will break the heart of God. It will cause you to be isolated, not only from people. She was isolated from people. She was put out of the camp. And let me tell you, nobody wants to be around a bitter person. So it'll cause isolation. It'll cause isolation between you and God. And it'll bring physical sickness in your life too, if you're not careful. Isn't that true? Here she was, Miriam, experiencing leprosy, sickness in her body. Bitterness is like a cancer, and many people have had cancer. I don't want to say all four, like I don't want to say with everyone, but we have to be so careful. It will eat us alive, that it will manifest itself into physical sickness if we're not careful. We got to be so careful. And here, although Miriam, what's interesting about this story was that she didn't die of her leprosy. She was restored. You have to realize she was restored, and everyone got affected through her. She was affected. The nation of Israel was affected. They didn't move for 7 days. And let me tell you something. If you're bitter against somebody, if somebody has hurt you, or maybe you've hurt somebody else, vice versa, and somebody else is bitter, let me tell you, you will not progress in your journey with God. And sometimes you'll be saying, I don't know what's going on. Look, ladies, we got to examine our hearts. You got to go before the Lord. You got to see if there's anybody. And you have to remove that and make sure that you are pure before God. Psalm 105:15 says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Very important. Are you speaking against the leaders? Are you speaking against the ones that are in leadership? We see David, we spoke about this, of course, when we were talking about Abigail. David refused to touch Saul, King Saul, who was after him, wanting to kill him. He had the opportunities to kill him, but he knew, oh, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. Even though Saul was rejected by God, even though Saul strayed away from his calling, David knew better not to touch the Lord's anointed. 2 Kings 2, when we look at the life of Elisha, Elisha pronounced a curse on those that mocked him. There are consequences. Let me tell you, there are consequences if you touch the Lord's anointed. Look at this crazy story. Maybe some of you have heard this story before, but we forget about it. But look what happened here with Elisha. Then Elisha went up from there to Bethel, and he was going up the road. Some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, go up, you bald head, go up, you bald head. And so he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. Can you imagine that? So here they were mocking him, and he pronounced a curse. Oh, don't touch the Lord's anointed. 42 young people died that day out of these bears that came out of the woods. Got to be really very careful about who you speak against. Your leaders, government leaders. Let me tell you something. Even your bosses, your government leaders, whether it be your pastors in your church. Here in Canada, I know right now there's not a lot of people who are happy with our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, and many people speak against him. We have to be very careful. Remember that the Bible says that promotion comes from the Lord. You might think you voted him in or didn't vote him in, but promotion comes from the Lord. This is what the Bible says. Psalm 75, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. You have to realize that, ladies, that instead of murmuring and criticizing your leaders, you got to pray for them. Why? Because God put them there. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2 says exactly that. Again, you didn't vote for them. Somebody else didn't vote for them. God put them there. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Understand this. They've been appointed by God. So instead of murmuring, instead of complaining, pray for them. Pray for them. We're going to see in this story, we're going to talk about this in a moment, how Moses prayed for Miriam's restoration. And look, even in the New Testament, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Who was the anointed one? The great anointed one, Jesus. Oh, they mocked him. Oh, they made fun of him. Oh, they didn't accept him. And in Mark chapter 6, Jesus spoke exactly of that. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his house. Now, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. what was Jesus saying? He says, you know what? They mocked me. They ridiculed me. I wasn't even accepted in my own country. And that's why, yes, there are consequences when you touch the Lord's anointed. That's why there were very few miracles there. So there are consequences when you murmur, when you complain, when you're embittered against people. And that's what happened. And with Miriam, look what the Bible says regarding bitterness. Ephesians 4:30-32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking to be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Wow. How was she cured? Well, very interesting. You know what? He forgave her. Moses forgave her. The way that we need to deal with people who have wronged us. Let me tell you something. It was a very humbling experience for Miriam to have leprosy, number one, and to be put out of the camp for 7 days, number two. You could only imagine. But understand this, that even though she failed miserably, her brothers loved her. The nation of Israel still loved her. They didn't stone her. God loved her. He restored her. Ladies, maybe you did something really not very good in your life where you feel like a failure. You feel like God doesn't love you, but he does love you. He's a God who wants to bring you to a place of restoration, a place of healing, a place of redemption. You need to come forth, repent, pour your heart before the Lord, and ask God to forgive you. Here we see Moses prayed for her. And you know what? We don't hear anything of Miriam after this. We see in Numbers chapter 20, her name is brought up again, where she actually died and was buried in Kadesh. But that was all we hear about her afterwards. But it wasn't like this marred her entire life. Why? Because she was restored. Again, he is the God of restoration. She was one of five prophetesses in the Old Testament, the very first one. And again, God spoke of her in a very affirmative way in Micah chapter 6, including her as one of the leaders, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And so the people of Israel, even to this day, Miriam is a very popular name, and they look to her. They look to her as a woman of wisdom, of guidance. They saw that she was instrumental in bringing out the people out of bondage. And to this day, many people are named Miriam because of how they valued Miriam in the Old Testament. The Jewish people name Miriam. Of course, maybe some of you out there watching might be called Miriam. I don't know. But it's not like a name like Athaliah. You don't hear about Athaliahs, evil Athaliah or Jezebel. But God restored her. And Moses, let's talk about Moses for a second. You know what? He could have been bitter against her. You spoke against me. And here was Aaron pleading with Moses, please pray for her. Please intercede for her. And that's what he did. This is what you do. You pray, you intercede. He did that. We see that he's a type of Christ. This is what we ought to do. When somebody hurts you, pray for them. When you don't agree with somebody, pray for them. When you don't like your leadership, pray for them. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't bring them down. Don't spread rumors. Don't bring gossip. Don't cause division. Don't hinder the hand of God, but pray for them. Pray for them. That's what Moses did. He prayed for her. And as we see in 1 Peter 2, verses 23 and 24, I'm just about to close. For when he, speaking of Jesus, was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Oh, wow. See, he prayed for her. Pray. Pray for those who use you and spitefully persecute you. Pray for those. Love your enemies. Do the right thing. Don't have bitterness in your heart. And see how God will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord will lift you up. Yes, she messed up. Miriam messed up as a leader, but then she stepped up. God restored her. Ladies, where are you today? As you examine your own life, is there somebody that you're murmuring and complaining against? It might be your pastor, it might be a leader, it might be a boss, it might be a family member, it might be a sibling. All these things, you know, it breaks the heart of God. And we see what happened with the Israelites when they murmured and they complained. They never entered that promised land. They had to sit there for 40 years and wait and wait. Listen, let's make sure that we don't do laps around the mountain, but that we have a clear and clean heart before the Lord. And as we see the story of Miriam, let's reflect in our own hearts. Ladies, let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you for the story of Miriam. And Father, we see your redeeming love in this story. We see that although, Father, she fell, Lord, we know, O God, that you are a God who restores. And Lord Jesus, in our own lives, help us to look deep within. Help us to just see who we have ought against. And like when Jesus was on the cross and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Lord, help us to forgive those who have hurt us, for they know not what they do. And Lord, help us to pray for them. Help us to love them. Help us to show kindness to them. Lord, remove any bitter roots within our hearts, O God. And let us take that step of restoration in all things, O God. And so as we leave this session today, Lord, it's not just closing of a session, Lord, but let us reflect the remainder of the day. Let us reflect on how we can make it right to those who have hurt us, to those people that we have hurt. Because Jesus, we want to be used by you. And Lord, Father, as we've all been given different gifts, as Miriam was given a gift in her leadership and she wasn't satisfied with it, Lord, help us, O God. Help us, O God, to take our eyes off of ourselves, Lord, and help us to look to you and not look to others and be jealous and envious of them. But Lord Jesus, we pray that you would just multiply the gift within us. And whatever you've given us, Lord, cause it to be fruitful. Cause it to be, there to be increase. And Lord, once again, we give you our lives today. And we thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, ladies, thank you for joining in today. I pray that this was a blessing to you and a reminder. It's a reminder to me. It's a reminder to all of us. Let us not murmur. Let us not complain. Let us pray for those around us who need our prayers. There are many people who need our prayers, our leaders, our pastors, our family members, maybe who have hurt us. Let's bring them before the Lord. Let us be like Moses. Moses was a man of great humility. There was nobody like him on the face of the earth during that time. Let us always make sure we humble ourselves before the Lord and do the right thing. And so, ladies, until next time, thank you for joining me. Remember to make every day count in the kingdom of God. May the Lord richly bless you and your families.